morning. Good morning. You can be seated. Well, welcome to church. We want to say thank you for the last 10 years, and I do appreciate every single person in every stage of the journey, and understand that when a building gets built, different trades are used in different seasons and different times. Sometimes you need the foundation people, then you need the plumbers, and you need the electricians. And I like to think of how churches unfold. God has brought the right people at the right time. Isn't God kind in how he does that? And one theme that I consistently heard through the message from the people that have been thanking us is the next 10 years is going to be better. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. It's exciting. And it was Jose and Yvonne who shared last week as well. So really excited. Okay, a Dad vs. Beckett update. Congratulations, Ella won her race, the track. Beckett won his race yesterday at the... So there's a little pat between Beckett and I. He keeps on lowering the distance because he knows I can beat him in the long distance. So we're now down to, I think, 800. That's the race between the two of us. But this is the problem. The thing, we're both getting older. For him, it's an advantage. For me, it's a disadvantage. Everything hurts more. Recovery takes longer. But I'm going to beat him. 800 this year. I'm not going to beat him. All right. Sunday the 17th. It's the Sunday, not next Sunday, but the following. We will be doing a building update with where we're at, kind of a town hall at our building to talk about everything that was discussed regarding the Charat process that we've just gone through with Building God's Way. We're really excited to share the news and all those details, but I figured the best way to do it would be to be in a room where you can ask questions and we can just put out there what they shared so we're all on the same page. Does that sound good? Yeah. And we're really excited. Of course, we know this. Something is going to happen. That's what we know. Something. We just don't know what. And we're still praying and working that through. And you know this. The story is unwritten. And so God could have many plot twists, turns, and just the way that he does that and unfolds it. So we're just really trying to get out of the way of what God's doing and allow him to do what he wants to do, to tell the story through us in an awesome way. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this season that we're in as a church. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming into the house for this last 10 years. Lord, not once has it been a burden to set up and tear down, Lord, to be in different locations, Lord, but it's all unto your glory. Lord, we continue to lift up your name. And Lord, I pray this morning's word would go into people's hearts. And Lord, what you want to catch, I pray would catch. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Okay. Numbers chapter 13, verse 25. Thank you, Rowan, for pronouncing my name correctly. Mark. After exploring the land for 40 days... the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is a kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quieten the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. "We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with them disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We saw giants there. the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. You know, I've read this story, and most of us have, multiple times, but one thing different stuck out to me this time. I noticed that, and it's something that's very obvious, but I had never noticed it before. Don't you love that when you read the Bible, that different things pop up like that, and it just, the Holy Spirit just reveals truth. And I realized that the promise and the problem were coexisting together. The promise being the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, cows and bees, and bountiful with delicious fruit. But the problem was also there were powerful people, and there were large towns that are fortified, and there are giants. Some would say the Nephilim. Not every promise that God has for you is problem-free. So there are promises that God has for you that aren't necessarily, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy because you received the promise. In fact, sometimes what happens is when you receive the promise, you get a whole lot of problems as well. Amen? You get all these problems and it becomes a challenge. For example, I am an answer to Ellie's prayer of the promise of a husband. But I come with a lot of problems. Problems upon problems. And likewise, less problems, but problems none to meet. Any relationship that you enter into, at the start, you think, this is an answer to prayer. This is wonderful. But then there's problems. Any new church that you become part of, at the start, wow, this is an answer to prayer. But guess what? There are problems waiting for you in that church. Every promise seems to have problems attached to it. You know, I think the 10 spies, the mistake that they made here is don't walk away from the promise because of a problem. We're not supposed to walk away from the promises that God has for us because we can see the problems that come with it. I think about the fact when Jesus asked the lame man, do you want to be healed? What a question. You think the obvious answer is yes, I want to be healed. Imagine that. But this man had lived a life as a beggar, and he knew that if he was going to be healed, a lot of things in his life was going to have to change. And did he really want to have to go through that change? And so when I think about what we're going through as a church, the season that we're in, we have possessed land, but the land comes with a lot of problems, right? And the problems don't just exist on the platform here, they exist in the congregation as well, meaning that it's our problem, not the pastor's problem, it's everyone's problem. Sometimes we need to solve a problem to receive a promise. Sometimes there are problems that you need to solve in order to receive the promises that God has for you. Sometimes if it's relationally, I need to solve the problems of what God wants to do in me in order for me to become the man that I need to be in the relationship with the other person. Because otherwise, if I go in hot and unprepared with a whole lot of baggage and issues, then I'm just gonna stir up a whole lot more problems and create a whole lot of storm that's unnecessary. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all these promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now, what I believe happened here, and this is not theologically provable, but this is my opinion, is that 10 of the 12 spies attached themselves to the problems. They saw the promised land, but they attached their heart and their thoughts to the problems. That's where their head was at. I pray, God, don't let me become a victim of attaching myself to the problems of our next 10 years, of what God has for us as a church. Numbers 13:31 says, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land that we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All these people we saw were huge. In other words, 10 of the spies chose being real with Moses over being right with God. They chose to speak reality. I'm just being real with you. I'm just going to keep it honest. That's what they chose, being real with Moses over being right with God, instead of being in a place of faith. It's, and I can just imagine, this is the formula that was in their heads. It's problem versus people, no promise. And they walked away. Whereas Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit. They were of a different mind and a different heart. Their equation, I think, would have went something like this. Problem versus God equals promise fulfilled. It wasn't promise versus us. It's the promise versus God. The problem versus God. That's the challenge. That's, we've got to get into the correct way of thinking. 10 spies attached themselves to the problem, but Caleb and Joshua attached themselves to God. And I want you to notice something. I said something very specifically there. Joshua and Caleb didn't attach themselves to the promise. They attached themselves to God. They attached their heart, their faith, their interest, and their desire to God, not to the promise. Because eventually, the promise might disappoint. The promise might let you down. The promise might change. You know, there's been many false starts that we've had as a church where we thought we were going in this direction and COVID happened and all these different things. If I attached my heart to the promise of being a pastor, I don't think I would still be here. But when you attach your heart to God, when you anchor in Him, that's the foundation that will get you through whatever it is that you're going through right now. It'll get you back to the promise in Jesus' name. The Israelites started with the problem and walked away from the promise. Joshua and Caleb started with God, defeated the problem, and ended up possessing the promise because they attached their heart to God. Numbers 14:9 says, "Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us." This is Caleb speaking. "They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them." I'm thinking right now, William Wallace, the Battle of Stirling, giving his famous speech where he says, "They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." Yeah. You think that speech would have fired up the Israelites and they got to a place where, yes, we can do it. We can take them. We can take the land that God has for them. You'd think that that would be the Israelites' response, but no. Numbers 14:10 says, "But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb." That's a complete opposite direction. "Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all of the Israelites at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will these people treat me with contempt? Will they never believe me? Even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them, I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they are.'" Don't you just love it when God shows up? Everything changes. You know that sickness that you've got, or you know that broken relationship, or you know that broken bank account that you've got? It is helpless prey. It has no protection because the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of that thing. God is with us and God is with you. And now it's not like Jacob and Caleb didn't see the problems, right? It's not like they were ostriches and put their head in the sand. There's lots of problems. They chose to elevate their God above the problems. That's what they chose to do. And sometimes we need to dial ourselves in and say, "God, I'm not going to get caught up in the problem. I'm going to focus on you and let you see the promise come to pass in my life." You know, that 2.6 acres of land we just bought, lots of problems. And I'm careful right now to what I allow into my heart and into my mind when it comes to how I'm thinking about what God's doing at 1031 Leland Drive. I'm not going to allow a 10 spy mentality to creep in and a confession to speak out negative and contrary to God's agenda for this property. As a church, we need to protect ourselves and not let that stinking thinking get in and corrupt and dilute, even that, just the diluting, that's what the enemy loves to do. He just slips in a little lie of doubt that says, this is impossible. It can't be done. But with God, all things are possible in Jesus' name. Now, if my math is mathing correctly, 10 of the 12 spies had a bad report and spread that bad report amongst the people, and that caught like a plague. That is, 10 out of 12 is 83% of the people who went to see the promised land came back with a bad report. 83%. My prayer is, God, surround me with the 17%. Amen. Surround me with people. I want to listen to the 17% that have faith in their heart to believe that God can do what he said he can do. I've encountered the 83%. And they are people who are willing to walk away from a promise because of a problem. And a problem that God can solve. That our God is big enough and strong enough to solve. I believe God is looking for that 17% of people that are willing to say yes to God, regardless of whether the problem is there or is there right now or down the track or whatever season we're in. We're just willing to say yes to God. So as the story unfolds, Moses goes into intercessory prayer after listening to what God has just said. I'm going to wipe these people off the face of the earth. And Numbers 14:19, Moses has been praying, and it says, in keeping with your magnificent, unfailing love, please pardon the sins of this people, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt. Then the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested, but as surely as I live and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will enter that land. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I have performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never even see the Lord land I swore to give their ancestors. None of these who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. Treated me with contempt. I got excited about that word, so I looked it up. And it says this. Treating someone with contempt means acting with superiority, disgust, or complete disrespect. Viewing them as inferior, worthless, or beneath consideration. It often includes sarcasm, mockery, eye-rolling, hostile humor, or cruel, condescending behavior meant to make the other person feel insignificant. That's what our doubt smells like to God. When we don't trust him. When we are choosing our ability. You know what? When we found out a potential proposed vision, I mean, it's a big vision, okay? It's a vision worthy of God. It's a vision that glorifies God. But when I heard it, I thought, whew, that's going to put the church in faith. It's going to put us into it. What it will do is it will take our East Bay comfortable, it will take us outside of our East Bay comfortableness and capacity, where we actually have to rely and depend on God to do the miracle and do the work. We're going into a faith season, church. A faith season like we've never been before. And it's really exciting. I'm excited to speak of the testimonies in years to come of what God is going to do through this group of people. Now listen to what God says about Caleb. We just heard what he says about the Israelites after they've treated God with contempt. Numbers 14:24 says, but my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. That's what I am believing for Exchange Church, is that we would possess the land because of our faith in God and our trust in God, seeing God do it again and again. When I think about this journey that the Israelites went on, from leaving captivity in Egypt and witnessing the 10 plagues, and then the Egyptians giving them their wealth and treasure and gold, and then the Red Sea, the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire that was leading them to the Red Sea, and then the Red Sea, the miracle of the Red Sea opening up and them being able to walk across, and then getting water at Miriam and the bitter water turning sweet, and then finding the 12 wells that they're able to get water from, which are still there to this day. And all of these miracles after miracles after miracles, it kind of reminds me of the journey of Exchange Church, the journey that we've been on and the different places that we've met. And again, for some of you, this might be a refresher, but listen to the journey of what God has taken us on. We started in a movie theater in downtown Walnut Creek in 2016, to which we have no statistics. But it did happen. There were 700 people on the first Sunday. Can't prove I'm lying. And my favorite memory from the movie theater season was watching the staff go from spectating in the hall, wondering, what is this, to getting saved and worshiping in the hall, going, thank you for this. Incredible to see. And the amount of custodians that have gotten saved at the school here and gotten water baptized because of what God's done. We leased out two theaters, one for adults and one for kids. We could not fit in the movie theater anymore. Then we went to Park Mead, some of you might remember that we weren't able to get into a school because the Walnut Creek School District, as we are aware, had not had a church inside, and we had basically a Rahab, a spy, who went in for us, and she was the principal, and she went into bat for us and basically enabled us to be able to get into this school. And this was a whole new chapter, which was really cool. But unfortunately, over the summer, the school auditorium was being used. And this is, we're talking pre-renovation days too. Wooden stage, if you remember that. And then in the summer of 2018, we went up to Hillside Church, a wonderful church up the street that allowed us to meet during the evenings. And we learned that that was challenging for some of the younger families. So we were believing for a morning opportunity. Then we went back to Park Mead here. So at this point, it's getting crazy. Then we went to the Renaissance in Walnut Creek. Anyone remembers the Renaissance? We've done that a couple of times. Then we went to Creekside Hall, also known as Elks Lodge. And I can't remember if it smelt better than it looked or it looked better than it smelt. We're grateful. Hey, we were just having church. This is church in the wild. 2019, then we went back to Park Mead and we grew to two services and we signed a lease for the ministry center. How good is God in terms of opening all these up? Then COVID. Dun, dun, dun. COVID happened and church went online and I became a full-time editor. It took me about 4 hours to work out how to get the SD card out and put the information onto the laptop because I had absolutely no clue. And it came down to the wire when we posted that online. I think we got about 50 fringe infringement notifications from YouTube for all of the... Anyway, you don't know what I went through. Then we went back in August 2021. We came back into Park Mead here and... that was great, but then they decided to pass Measure J, and as we affectionately said, is the neighbourhood decided to vote. They decided to vote on whether they should do a renovation on our temporary location for us, and they voted yes. And that was very kind of the neighbourhood to do that, and so we've got this beautiful new auditorium, so we're really grateful for that. And then because of that, we went over to Merwood, which is another school across there. And then we came back to a renovated Park Mead, which was really awesome. And then we moved, because of summer, to Tice. And that was the key spot. Yeah, you remember. Key spot left their stuff out. It was a 2.5 hour bump in and a 1.5 hour bump out. Thank you for serving 4 hours on a Sunday just to do a 1 hour and 15 minute service. You really love God. Amen. And then we had to go to the Renaissance because renovations were still renovating. We were meeting there. Funny fact is when we went to the Renaissance, the lady at the venue said to me, would you need my help with how to set chairs up and where to put the screens? And I'm just like, you have no idea. Then we came back to Park Mead, and there was wild acres up in Lafayette. Yeah. I mean, we have gone. This journey is wild. And then in September of 2025, Exchange Community Church officially purchased 1031 Leland Drive for $3.35 million. 2025 was our biggest year ever financially, numerically, spiritually. God did so much in the heart, and I have just got such high expectations for 2026 and what God has been doing. There were times when there was a temptation to ask God, well, you know, God, what are you doing? How's this going to unfold? Why can't this just be a normal story where it's just a little easier, we get a building and you do it? Why is this so stretched out? Hard times don't always mean transition. In fact, most times it means growth. Yeah. The hard times that we go through and the challenging things that we've gone through, the problems that we've had to solve, for me personally, has grown me spiritually closer to God and a deeper intimacy and relationship with Him. James 1, 2 and 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I would encourage you, if you are facing problems and what started out as a promise has now become a problem, is keep doing the last thing God said. Don't let pain start a quest for a different season. Don't let pleasure, let God start the season. Keep doing the last thing that God said. Here are three scriptures to encourage you. James 1:6 says, "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind." I can tell you, as a surfer, growing up in the ocean, three times a day, every day for 20 plus years, you would find a spot, a landmark in the water when you'd found a really good surf spot, a peak where a wave is breaking. But because of onshore drifting and currents and wind and the movement of the ocean, you slowly drift and you don't realize you're drifting. And the only thing that stops you from drifting is to keep your eyes fixed on a landmark. And so for me growing up, doing this in a practical way is exactly the same with Jesus. Don't drift from Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. As a church, we're not going to drift from Jesus. We're going to stay anchored by the truth of God's word. We're going to build our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to drift and take for granted the beautiful that God has brought together. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Amen. We are a marathon church. I just saw that the world record for the marathon was broken. Sebastian Sawi, he did it 1 hour, 59 and 30 seconds, which is a 4 minute, 36 mile for 26 miles. Is that incredible? The London Marathon, the guy who comes second broke 2 hours as well. 1 hour, 59 minutes and 41 seconds. Unbelievable. But you know how they get that fast? What they do, it's consistent running over time. They build, it's like a pyramid. You build a big base and then eventually you peak at the event. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should do. Otherwise, I fear that that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I don't want to be disqualified. I want to run with purpose in each step to the thing that God's called us to. And it's clear, it's so obvious from Scripture, to know God, to know Him. And at some point in that journey, you'll realize it's about making Him known. This beautiful gospel, to go into the world and preach the good news. And literally, we have gone into the world and the world that God has around us to build His church, the institution that Jesus is returning for, to know God, make Him known, build His church. He said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And finally, to know God, make Him known, build His church, and bring heaven to earth. In Jesus' prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, Thy Father's will be done, not my will be done, but my Father's will in heaven. Say it. Huh? No, I know it. I'm waiting for someone to say it. On earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. On earth as it is in heaven. We are literally believing. The question is, what is heaven like? In heaven, there's no weeping. People are healed. There's freedom in your body. We just had a great message last Sunday on what heaven is going to be like. Well, I believe that when Jesus prayed that prayer, that we are to believe for that to happen now. We are to believe for people to be healed, for relationships to be restored, and for the greatest miracle of all is salvation to happen in the faith. I thank God. I know that there are 450 plus people who thank God that this church existed and your serving and your faithfulness and all of the commitment that you've given and shown over this last decade. There are 450 people who are eternally grateful that they will be in the presence of God because of your faithfulness. So God, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done over this last 10 years. And God, I pray that the ladder will be even greater. God, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to bring into this house, Lord, people that are a part of the building of the process of what it is that you are establishing. God, I pray, Lord, as shared in Scripture, that we would continue to encourage and build each other up, Lord, to do what you've called us to do. God, I pray, Lord, in this next 10 years, Lord, your Holy Spirit would be even more present in people's lives. God, I pray, Lord, for the indwelling and infilling of your Spirit to empower us and equip us, Lord, through spiritual gifts and all it is that you have for us. Lord, we know unless you build the house, the people labor in vain. And God, we ask that you would continue to build your house, Lord, through us, Lord, as you return, as you are one day going to return, Lord, in glory, Lord. And I pray on that glorious day, Lord, that you would look at this church and say, well done, good and faithful servants. Lord, that we did not waver from what it is that you've called us to do. And so with all our heart this morning, God, we say thank you. And we believe for more of what you have in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we just give God a hand for the last 10 years of... Well, as a church, we love to connect people with Jesus, and maybe you haven't begun a relationship with him. I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And I want to encourage you, if you are distant from God and you need to reconnect, or maybe you want to pray this prayer for the first time, to come and seek out Ellie or I, or maybe the person who brought you, and we'll pray with you as well and get you on this journey of this exciting relationship with Jesus. Everyone in a loud voice with their eyes closed. Dear God, I come to you this morning. And I ask for your forgiveness for all of the times that I've hurt you and all the times that I've hurt others. Holy Spirit, help me and guide me and fill me to live each day for you. And so from my heart, with my mouth, I confess you as Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. We can give God one more hand. We will have some prayer partners up the front if you need prayer for anything. We want to be sensitive to the fact that there's a whole, some of you might have some problems right now, but guess what? You've got a whole lot bigger God than your problems. We're going to pray with you. But also to celebrate our 10-year anniversary, we are having Mexican food. Amen. I was going to do Costco pizza to save money for the building, but I thought, nah, just this one Sunday, it's Taco Sunday. So amen. Have a wonderful service. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Hey, Exchange Community Church, it's Rowan Dredge here. I just want to say well done and congratulations on 10 years. Now, it's amazing. 10 years kind of feels like a long time, but it's not a long time. So in a way, you've done really well up to this point in time, but you've only just begun. It's a massive pleasure to be able to cheer on and champion Mark and Ellie and all of the leadership that are there. Having been there several times, it's just a wonderful and personal opportunity for my wife Megan and I to be able to say congratulations, well done, here's to another 10 and many, many more after that.
Happy anniversary! Doug and Crystal Heisel here from New Life Church, and we are so excited to celebrate with you. Mark and Ellie, we could not be happier to be a part of the church plant that you guys have been doing for the past 10 years. And it is so exciting to watch and see how God continually is moving among you and your teams and everyone that's there.
And church, I just want to say to you, way to go. Water baptisms, prayer, healing, help, all the things that you've helped grow. And I just want to declare this over the next 10 years. God's going to go above and beyond what you've already seen. Stay faithful, be generous. Keep praying. Trust God. It's going to be awesome. We're standing with you. You got another church family that is applauding you guys. Happy 10-year anniversary.
Woohoo! Hello, Exchange Church. Congratulations on 10 years. I'm so excited for you. You're such an amazing church. You know, I really believe in these last 10 years that you've planted some seeds, your roots have grown, and now in this next season, I believe that you're going to see such phenomenal growth. You are the light in the area. You are the light that is going to draw people to you. You know, I just even hear in my spirit the scripture in Matthew 5 that says a light should not be put under a basket, but put it on a lampstand. This is the season of advancement for Exchange Church. I just want to say, I love you, Pastor Mark. I love you, Pastor Ellie. I love you, Exchange family. You really are a family to me. And so congratulations on 10 years, but let's look for the next 10 years. God's going to move in such a powerful way.
Hey, Exchange Church, it's Chris Kane. I'm just dropping in to wish you a happy 10th anniversary. Mark and Ellie, we love you so much, the whole team. What God has done in the first 10 years is absolutely incredible. I'm so privileged to have been part of this journey with you every step of the way. And I know the next 10 are going to be the greatest 10 yet. God bless you. We love you dearly.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.